direct you to the right place, and then there's a tour. There's going to be actually a very cool tour of all the equipment and how it all works today, as well as lunch, which is just wonderful. Okay, the best thing, though, this week, Babbie Mason. Okay. Now, Babbie Mason is really something. She is an award-winning composer. She's a teacher. The Tuesday morning heart-to-heart Bible study has been using her material for quite some time. Everybody's a big fan of hers who has watched her. And she's coming here from Atlanta to SQUIM this week and is going to be here on Tuesday morning for the heart-to-heart group, as well as a free event that evening at 7 o'clock. There's going to be a love offering, you know, which is called Love Offering Taken, where and she's going to sell books and that kind of stuff at the concert. But that is something really great to invite friends to. It's in the SQUIM Gazette this week as well. So maybe people have heard about it, and so share that. It's going to be a great thing to come to this Tuesday night. And then my final just reminder is for anybody with fifth graders or eighth graders, we're having double dippers this week. So tonight is the high school group, so the eighth graders are allowed to come and be part of high school group just to get ready for what's going to happen in the fall. Then Wednesday night, the fifth graders are able to come to middle school, which should be cool. And so tonight at 5 and Wednesday at 5 are those events. Jim Spriney is going to come and read our scripture today. Jim is one of our elders.
Just one of them.
One of the many, yes. Do whatever you want to do.
Come right up here.
Okay. Take my spot. I'll stand away. You know?
Okay. Well, it's a great pleasure to be able to read God's words. And this morning I'll be reading from Acts 11, verses 19 through 26 in the NIV. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them and to remain true to the Lord and with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
Okay, thank you. So today we're going to look at a man in the early church whose name actually was Joseph, but he came to particular prominence because of a particular set of qualities he had that made him indispensable to those around him. Now, what's interesting about Barnabas is that he was not one of the original 12 disciples or apostles that Jesus called. And yet, Luke, when he wrote his gospel, actually called him an apostle along with the apostle Paul and put him first ahead of the apostle Paul. And yet most of us don't know that much about Barnabas. We hear a lot about Paul. We hear a lot about the 12 apostles, Peter, John, and James, etc. And here's this guy, Barnabas, who turns out does some very pivotal things in the life of the early church. Now, his name means son of encouragement, and it's a nickname that he was given. And what encouragement means, when you look it up in the original language, is someone who comes alongside. He was a person who was available to others, who would be there and come to them. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit is going to come in a very special way among the believers after he rises from the dead, the same word is used, and it's called the Paraclete. The one who comes alongside is going to be here. So the Holy Spirit and Barnabas show, and by their name, in effect, the idea of what encouragement is, and that is to be near and to be close by, up close and personal. Now, the reason I really like the idea of encouragement as a topic is that it is a word in our vision and mission statement of the church. And so you may have seen this if you've been around a while, but we really use this as our marching orders for what we do here at Squim Community Church. And so whenever we're thinking of a ministry opportunity or something we're doing, small groups, et cetera, we're always thinking about this, responding to the Great Commission by encouraging unchurched people to join us as we become devoted followers of Christ. So encouraging. How do we encourage people to join us? Now, if we encourage well, the church is going to grow in many different ways. And so what I'd like to do is to take a dive into the life of Barnabas. And there are really four things that I found when I looked there in this passage and a couple others about what he did that made him a standout, that what he did that enabled him to be named in the Bible along with all these other really cool leaders. What did he do? And I think it's a very important message for us today because we're living in a very discouraging world and we have a lot of issues to deal with. We need to figure out how to be those standout encouragers in the midst of that so that people are drawn to Jesus. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is this quality that an encourager is called to help in messy situations. Now, from our scripture passage we've just read, there had been a persecution that had broken out, and many of the leaders from Jerusalem were scattered and went to various places. And some of them did what was very comfortable, which was they worked with other Jewish people and told them about Jesus. Some of them, though, were bold enough or maybe crazy enough to go to the Greeks, to those who were not Jews, who had very little background in Judaism or understanding of that. And lo and behold, as they went, some of them responded. Now, it's kind of like someone who doesn't fit the box suddenly responds. I'll tell you, there's real life situations like that happen today. I work in the area of missions quite a bit, and I heard this story. This is a true story. In Sierra Leone, there was a village where the elders of the village all got together and decided they wanted to seek information about Jesus, and they requested Bibles. And word got back all the way to Florida, where we, that's our headquarters, about this. And of course, workers went there, and there's been a move of God in Sierra Leone. And it was kind of a surprise. No one would think that would actually happen. This is a Muslim area. But this is the kind of thing that we're looking at here. And in this case, they needed someone with wisdom to go and check it out. What was going on here among these Greeks? And so they sent Barnabas. They sent him there to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. And he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So here's his first attitude about the messy situations. He was a person that could go into something that wasn't clear or that maybe looked a little dodgy. And he saw the forest for the trees. He saw the potential maybe before it was completely evident to everyone else. And this was very much in the spirit of what Jesus did with people when he met them for the first time as well. So we know this. In fact, when Jesus was first meeting disciples, calling people, one of his catchphrases was, come and see. Just come and see. Come see what's going on. Just be with me. So this was a very important part of welcoming people that were not quite there yet. Empathy, sympathy, we're all part of this tool set of encouragement that Jesus and, of course, Barnabas and others brought. The other thing that Jesus did was he empathized with weakness. So there's some verses in Hebrews that basically say Jesus was made like his brothers and sisters in every way and is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He being perfect, God coming in the flesh, still sympathized with our weaknesses. So Barnabas, of course, went there, and these people were not ready yet. They were just new. They were so excited about Jesus, and they'd had a lot to learn. But he didn't worry about that. He leaned in and he spent time and he saw where the grace of God was evident. And I think that's a great thing to be looking for in all of our relationships, even the ones that are challenging, is where is the grace of God evident and can we see it? And maybe is there something there that's not quite evident to everybody else? Now, there is a good reason that Barnabas was assigned this task, because he had a history of doing some things that really impressed those around him. One of his particular milestones was that he helped with an individual that a lot of people were hesitant about, and he got that person in the place where God could really use him. That was the Apostle Paul in the early days of his faith, because Paul, who was called Saul, persecuted the church. He killed people. He was killing Christians. He was running them down. And suddenly he came to Jesus on the road to Damascus, and everybody thought, okay, is this for real? Is this guy a terrorist? You know, that's the kind of way they thought about it. And wait a minute, how can this be true? And so Barnabas was the guy. He was the key guy that sponsored Paul. And it says here, in basically, here's what I want to say next. An encourager builds trust. So they're, first of all, they're called into messy situations, and the first thing they do is build and rebuild trust with people that are there. That's really important. So when Saul, later called Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. So Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He actively did that with a person that a lot of people didn't see potential in. And this is a very strong gift for those who have encouragement as part of what God really uses them for. Because here's the thing. This is a quote from a book called I Once Was Lost, which was a survey of 2,000 postmodern, post-college students, how they came to faith. So there were interviews done from college ministries and various places about students later on, and what was it that brought them to faith? And they found that trusting was the key issue, the starting point to opening their hearts to the message of Jesus and to the Bible and everything else. And here's why. Distrust is the number one hindrance to people believing now. They've been burned too often. And so there are many things. If someone brings up Christianity or that you're a Christian, people immediately become defensive. They often even become physically rigid or want to change the subject. They think they're going to be judged. This is quite common among people which you call unchurched or de-churched, or they did church and they're done with church. This is a very common experience that they've had. And so here's what it says in that book. Until a framework of distrust is shifted, growth is nearly impossible. And we face a context whose default is distrust. So someone who builds trust is inherently valuable in the kingdom. And this is what the book said. What most of our friends have told us is that the process of coming to faith actually really gained traction for them once they started to significantly trust a Christian. You might want to think yourself, and if you're a follower of Jesus, what role did trusting another Christian play in that faith journey? Did someone come alongside you and help you in the initial days with that? And so this is a key thing. We need to pray. We need to think about how are we building trust or being trustworthy ourselves, because this is what Luke 19 says. This is the parable of the one who invests. It says, "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. You've invested what I've given you." It's a parable of talents. And now take charge of 10 cities. So your little gift has grown because you've invested and you've been trustworthy. And so this is what it says about Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. That was because he was trustworthy and he built trust. Now, how do you know if you're a trustworthy person? This is interesting. There's some interesting questions you can ask yourself about this. Think about people in your life that perhaps, let's say you're a Christian and you have people in your life that are not Christians. How have they ever called you when they had a problem? So, you know, are you the kind of person that by your life and by the things you say to people, that when they come into trouble, they're looking at you first. They're coming for advice first to you. Or are they just like turned you off and they're never going to ask you because they know they're going to be overwhelmed? And have they ever done that? The other question might be, have I ever called anybody for help in that situation? Have I ever just even gone and built those kind of bridges where I've gone with my need and to someone who perhaps is not aligned with me in my belief system? You know, are we being real with each other? Am I open with my emotions about that? This is about family members, maybe discussions with family members who you don't agree with, maybe politically or maybe religiously. Are you at that place where that's okay, set that aside, and can I share honestly with them? This is with children. This is with grandchildren. So those kinds of things, it's that give and take of advice, of help, and connection. So those two things, I have two more I want to bring out. So we've got the first one, which is just willing to enter the mess and look for the grace of God. And then we've got this idea of the trust building that's going on. Here is the third. An encourager takes the time to interact and invest. Now here's what it says in Acts 11. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. He paused. He actually went there. He didn't go on a short-term mission. He went, saw the grace of God, and he realized these people are going to need some time. Now, there's a lot of rough edges here. And so he spent the time with them, working through questions, working through challenges, a whole year. And here's another thing that he did that was just amazing. Here's a guy that's got a lot of forethought. He was the guy that sponsored Saul in the early days. And he watched him in action, and he saw potential in Saul. And Saul went home, was back in his hometown, and Barnabas saw this great opportunity where he went in Antioch. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go get Saul, and I'm going to bring him here. I'm going to go find Saul, and we're going to bring him right into this area, and we're going to work together and do things. Now, what happens if Barnabas had just thought, I'll just do it myself? What if he hadn't thought of Saul? What if he hadn't sponsored Saul? What if he just let it, you know, he had to go find him. And yet by doing that, he brought Saul along with him, and they both grew in maturity to the point where they were called apostles. Can you imagine? This is what the kind of encouragement is that keeping an eye out for people, taking time, interacting, investing, feeding people's curiosity, and taking the moments that are there. You know, when we have basic beliefs, which is the course we do every spring, it's designed in that kind of way where people can come at the beginning with skepticism, questions, you know, doubts, and they're able to hear a little bit about something and take 9 weeks over a course of time with the same people at tables, eating, spending time asking questions. And I bring in people to help at those tables who are not completely there yet, but they're trying to be a help. This is just like Saul. And, you know, at the end of it, we end up getting small group leaders out of that and all kinds of neat things because we serve together to help people and we take the time to invest. And when people are curious, we're aware, hey, they're curious. Let's help. Let's take the time. Okay, last point of the encouraging lifestyle. An encourager sees people through. Now, Paul was an interesting story because he came to faith and he exhibited a lot of good character qualities right away. And all it took was Barnabas to identify that and then to challenge him and put him in leadership. And all of a sudden, good things happened. But there's another story where a person who is a key person in the early church, a very influential person in the early church, blew it completely. And yet Barnabas came back, saw what happened, helped him dust up the pieces, and go forward. And here's that story. Paul, later on, they were buds. They had done things. They'd gone on missionary journeys, and they were going to go back and visit the churches that they had started. Let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, Barnabas also wanted to take John, whose name is Mark, with them. And this was his cousin, I believe. Yes, his cousin. All right, so this is their relatives, all right? But Paul had a big problem with Mark because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So Paul had basically decided, I'm giving up on this guy. He didn't have what it takes. So I don't want to do it. And they had such a disagreement about it that they had decided to part company. And Barnabas went back to Cyprus with his cousin Mark, and Paul went on and did other things with other people. But Barnabas saw something. He didn't leave Mark just to go off and be, you know, nothing happening. He took him and he came alongside again, and he drew close. He probably asked lots of questions. He helped. And here's what happened at the end. Now, you might not know this. You might think, well, that just happened, and they split ways and went different directions. There's a little aside in Colossians, a letter from Paul later on when Paul is in prison. And this is what he says about Mark. He says, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And you've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. So whatever had happened over those years, Mark had been restored. The reason that's so important is that Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark, the first gospel. And he was also sponsored by Peter and spent a lot of time with Peter. And actually, Peter, what people believe, that those who look at those gospels, Peter, they believe that Peter actually dictated most of his experiences to Mark, and Mark wrote it down and wrote that gospel. His gift was to write a really good gospel. And you know why it's a gift? It's because two other gospels took Mark as their foundation. That's Matthew and Luke, and they added some other stories and parables and things that Jesus said. But Mark wrote a really good gospel. And if Mark hadn't written that really good gospel, we would have a huge lack in the church. And it's all because Barnabas didn't give up on Mark. So what are we supposed to do with that? I think we need to really consider, are we encouragers? Are we giving up on people too early? Are we in it for the long haul? Are we not afraid? This is what Hebrews 3:13 says. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There are many broken relationships around us. There are disappointments. The world, the things we read, the news, encourages us to disagree, to cut off, to make enemies, to put people aside who we don't agree with. And we have, as a result of some of this, a lot of cutoffs. We have harsh words that are said, and distrust is rampant. And there has to be people who are willing to bridge those gaps. Now, the wonderful thing about being an encourager, just like the Holy Spirit who comes alongside and works in people's lives, even people who don't believe yet, it says, this is what it says about the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of sin and righteousness and God's judgment coming. The Holy Spirit gets us thinking and works in our hearts because the Holy Spirit comes in a certain way in our lives, the same way that we do. When we are an encourager, it does not compromise us in any way. We can boldly enter messy situations and look for the grace of God. We actively build trust and are trustworthy. We interact, we invest, we give people space to grow and learn, and we give them their time. We give them our time. That's how he wants us to be encouragers. That's the spirit of how he wants us to be encouragers. And the Holy Spirit, of course, helps us in our weakness. He really does. He gives us all these opportunities with those around us, and he comes and he empowers us and gives us the wisdom to do all those things if we'll just ask. So I'd like to pray with us and just ask that we would be open for what God would like to do through us. Lord, I do thank you that we have the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you have come alongside as an encourager, and you know when to bring up the hard things. You do that in such a way that we look up and we become curious and we respond. And Lord, you have actually called us to do the same thing with other people by our attitudes and our actions. So I would pray for a great boldness those here who are listening here in person and online, Lord, that you'd give us a great boldness to enter in with a new attitude to a messy situation that we see, that we might have right now going on in our family or with a friend or a coworker, a boss, whatever it is. Let us enter that and look for the grace of God. And then, Lord, help us to be people who rebuild trust. Help us to be people who sponsor and see things that others don't see yet, and help those who are struggling to move forward. Lord, I know you're going to do that. That's your work in us. And so empower that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to close with a song. Will you please stand and sing with me? Jesus is worth it all. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We are secure and found in his love and in his hope. And that's how we can go out. That's how we can go out and be encouragers. So go this week in the peace and in the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ and be encouragers. God bless you. See you next Sunday.